Give you praise and glory. Lord, we have come to a point where you are going to send your word forth again. Lord, the words that will go out today, they will not come back void. They will accomplish the purpose for which you are sending them forth in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that every life here be transformed in Jesus' name. Lord, you've given us faith. That faith will be activated today. And from today, we'll begin to profit by your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Praise God. I mean, when you listen to our sister when she sang, was that voice wonderful? That's a beautiful voice. You just need to look at the range. You know, the way she went up and down with the voice is so wonderful, you know. And the devil wants to take that voice from her. The devil is a liar, in Jesus' name. And everyone in similar situation, that the enemy, because the Bible says he has three ministries. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. As many as he wants to steal from, today, because there is a stronger man in your life, and that's Jesus, he will not be able to plunder you in Jesus' name. Recently, as you know, I've been on leave. One of my colleagues from work, who previously had a stent, he's a doctor, he had a stent put in his heart, suddenly developed chest pain. So he sent a text message to my house, and he said, pray for me because I have to go and see my doctor tomorrow. It looks like I'm in trouble because he was having this pain. But we were really worried. I mean, I've just lost someone. I can't afford to, you know. And by the grace of God, we prayed. And by the time he got to his doctor, I mean, the report has been so wonderful. He's back home. In fact, I'm thinking of going to see him today. All the resources are here. But I tell you that the time between going from where the resource is, from where you are, a lot can happen. And it's God who can sustain. The Lord will sustain you in Jesus' name. As you hear the word of God this afternoon, God will do something spectacular in your life. I've said we don't come here for fun. I mean, we come for fun, you know what I mean. We come to be joyous, rejoicing in our God. But we come with expectation. We come because we know God is God. We come because we know he can make the difference. We come because we know when we pray to him, he answers us. We answer you today in Jesus' name. We've been talking about the good ground. The good ground. We've talked about different aspects of the good ground. We started by telling us about what it will be like when there is a good ground. The different areas of our lives that can be affected. We then started talking about the characteristics of a good soil or a good ground. We talked about some of the ingredients, and that's what we've been talking about, the ingredients that needs to be available for a good ground to be a good ground, so that when you sow seed into that ground, it will bring forth fruit. We've said it's a matter of the heart, and that the heart is the ground we are talking about. When you have a receptive heart that is watered by the word that softens your heart, then the ground is prepared where the word of God can have its way. Not everyone profits from the word of God. I keep saying this, not everyone will profit from the word of God. But you are going to profit in Jesus' name. Only when the word of God gets sown on a good ground will it bring forth fruit. Jesus said, he said, he who honors a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So when the prophet sows into your life, if it's a good ground, you will reap the reward. If it's not a good ground, you are not likely to receive the reward. For example, if a man of God, no matter how anointed he is, if he comes and pray for you, and after you leave the place, you go there, you get home, you divide his hand, divide his neck, divide his hand, you know, you talk about his negatives, everything that is wrong with his life, that's what you talk about, you cannot prosper. Because it takes a good ground for the word of God to prosper you. A poison ground will never bring out something good. That's what the Bible says. Your heart will not be poisoned in Jesus' name. We said no matter how good a ground is, it needs cultivation. And I like the Yoruba words, the Yoruba saying. The Yoruba saying is that Baba Bini Atunra Enebi. That is the cultivation part of your mind. Last week, Pastor Adeboye Mrs. told us that there are things we must do. That is cultivation. No matter how good the ground is, if you don't cultivate the ground, if you just come and scatter seed, I know there is a type of sowing that is called, those of us who did agree, what do you call it? Broadcasting. Thank you. What did you have in agree? If you beat me, you'll be in trouble. Don't tell me. Praise God. Okay. No, they call it broadcasting. You just go and spread the seed, but then you need to have tilled the ground. You need to have removed the weeds. You need to have cultivated the ground for you to broadcast the seed. Praise the Lord. So we talked about some of the things, you know, how you can cultivate your heart. For example, we have to remove the root of bitterness. Must not allow it there. You have to cultivate your heart. It has to be a decision we make. And I'm telling you today, as you make up your mind, you are going to, you know, to cultivate your heart. You are going to walk into your breakthrough in Jesus' name. I say you are going to walk into your breakthrough in Jesus' name. Now, having cultivated the ground, before you plant seed, what do? After you have cultivated the ground, I want to know a good agric student now. Praise God. Of course, most times you spread the herbicide. Okay, because the herbicide helps you to, you know, sometimes when you cultivate this thing, you put the herbicide, of course, that's the word of God. You keep hearing the word. Praise the Lord. Now, there's another thing you do. After you've cultivated the... That is when you put your manure, fertilizers. Am I right? There are some, in some cases you actually plant the seed, in the case of trees and so on. After they've grown up, you annually or maybe every 2 years, 3 years, you put fertilizer around them. I'm checking with the agric student. Praise God. So you put your fertilizer, you put your manure. We are going to talk about the manure of our hearts this morning. Praise God. And I want to tell you that faith is the manure. Faith is the fertilizer that brings about a profiting from the word of God. The word you are going to hear today is going to profit you in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 13 that we have been reading. Matthew 13, because there is a long way to go. At least there should be a difference between when I'm on leave and when I'm not on leave. When I'm on leave, I should have more time to spend in the presence of God. I should have more time to hear from God when I'm on leave. And by the grace of God, I believe God is going to be speaking to us today and it's going to be changing somebody's destiny for good in Jesus' name. Matthew 13, 18 to 23. And I will quickly read because we've got a lot of work in our hands. Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, inconstant, lasts but a little while, and when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble, he is repelled, and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. Praise the Lord. Your life is going to yield fruit to the word of God today in Jesus' name. The manure. We said after the ground has been cultivated, you need to apply manure to enhance the output. Otherwise, you see, what makes, we are all children of God. What is going to make a difference between your life and my life is the amount of faith we have in God. What determines your spiritual greatness that gets transferred or transformed or translated into the physical well-being of your soul and body and everything that surrounds you is your level of faith. Because the Bible says God is not partial. He's no respecter of any person. We are all children of the living God. We are all born again. We are all anointed. Praise God. But what is going to shift you from one level to the other, is the level of faith. It's how much you want to hold on to God. How much you are willing to trust Him. We all are anointed, but not everyone has the same level of anointing. That was why Peter could walk and his shadow cast on people would heal them. Not all the disciples did that, was it? No. That is why aprons that had touched the body of Paul, they would send it to give it to people. You may say, I don't believe in handkerchief. That's what people are doing, it's biblical. Apron from Paul. They will give it to people, take it home, lay it on the sick, and the sick will recover. Was it all the apostles that did that? No. It is how much we are ready to be committed to God that God is saying, look, if you are committed to God, God will be committed to you. We heard from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, he said, those who honor me, I will do what? I will honor. When you honor God in the secret and in the open, when you come out and you speak in the name of the Lord will honor you too. Remember the people that tried to cast out demons, the 7 sons of Sceva. What did they do? He said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And what did the man with the evil spirit say? He said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Who are you? What is going to determine whether the evil spirit will recognize your authority or not is how much manure there is in you. Praise the Lord. I share with people in the house fellowship where I went to last Tuesday. And I said, look, the word can be spoken into your life. It may not be of any effect except you receive it mixed with faith. Except we accept the word of God mixed with faith. Desperately trusting believing what has been said to us. I think we opened to Hebrews chapter 4 and I read verses 1 and 2 there. You know, it says that the same gospel that was preached to us was preached unto them, but because, you know, he said it profited them not because it was not mixed with faith when they had it. We also went into Luke chapter 1 verse 45 and because that place tells us that he said, blessed is she who believe that which was spoken to her, because there will be a performance of it. That which was spoken to her from the Lord, there will be a performance of it. She's blessed because she believes. Anyone that is going to prosper and be blessed by the word of God has to do what? Believe it. And as you believe it this morning, the Lord is going to prosper you and bless you in Jesus' name. You see, the Bible says we walk not by sight, but by faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. I mean, you know what I mean? When he talks about walking, you know, in other words, we don't live our lives based on the things we see or just the things we hear, but we base our life on faith in the Son of God. And I told you that, look, once you remove faith out of Christianity, it is called time wasting. Praise God. Huh? When you remove faith out of Christianity, as some people are trying to do now, to convert it to motivational speaking. Without the faith element of Christianity, it is called what? Time wasting. It's a waste of time. We will just come together and go, and nothing will happen in our lives. We walk not by sight, but by faith. I was telling her at this Sunday school, I said, look, in many churches today, nobody actually looks at what determines who you are. It's no longer whether the world sees you as fervent or not, or whether God sees you as fervent or not, or whether the pastor sees you as fervent or not. No. It is often how much tithe you can pay. It's often how much influence you have. It's called cash and carry. I told you about some men of God who have been asked on the television, are you saying that Jesus is the only way? And no answer. They couldn't answer. They couldn't say it. They know what the Bible says. They can preach it, you know. But once they were asked, because of the political implication, because of their multi-million dollar empire, they could not say that Jesus... because some people would now say they are narrow-minded. They are afraid to say, yes, I tell you, Jesus is the Lord. He's the only way. Is the truth and the life. When you stay under the teaching of such a person, look, nothing will happen. I'm telling you, you will feel good, and when you leave, your problem lives with you. If you are not careful, there will be more added to you. It is by faith that we are in vision. It is by faith that we dream. It is by faith that we rule our lives. The Bible says anything that is not of faith is what? It's a sin. It's in Hebrews. It says anything that is not of faith is what? It's a sin. In other words, in totality, we have to trust God. We have to trust God. That is why God is going to change somebody's destiny here today in Jesus' name. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, he said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You become a tree of righteousness from today in Jesus' name. The Lord is restoring somebody's joy. That joy you have lost in your marriage, the Lord is restoring it to you today in Jesus' name. That joy, you know, when you had your baby, it was full of promises, hope, and aspirations that this is the way my child is going to turn out to be. And I'm saying to you today, by the reason of the word of God that is upon my lips, that God is going to turn around the situation of your child. If it's not suiting that dream of yours today, the Lord will perfect it in Jesus' name. Because he said he has appointed to them in Zion, those who mourn, they are going to receive joy. Those who are in captivity, they will enjoy release. Today is the day. It's not tomorrow. He said, today, God has appointed a day for you. And today is your day in Jesus' name. The reason why God would do it is so that his name might be glorified. Psalm 37, verse 37. He said, mark the perfect man. And behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright. Your end will be peace in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. Faith is so crucial to our well-being. Somebody quoted someone of recent and said, oh, this person was saying, don't give me the peace that passes all understanding, but give me an understanding that brings peace. And when I listened to that quotation, I just said, no, something is wrong. You know what? There's always a limitation to human understanding. But there's no limitation to what faith can do in the Lord God, who can do all things. Praise the Lord. When you ask for understanding, you are limiting yourself. I'm not saying don't ask for understanding. But what I'm saying, no matter the level of your understanding, let the faith in God take you beyond that in Jesus' name. That's why Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. So it does not matter the level of understanding that God gives you. There's always a level of faith that will go beyond human understanding, because what God intends to do in your life, in the life of every of his children, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, neither has it entered into the heart of man, because your understanding cannot go beyond what is entered into your heart. That is understanding. And what God wants to do in your life goes beyond what your heart can entertain, because there's a mystery in God, because there's a revelation that comes in God that will bring out the goods of heaven into your life. Is somebody being blessed this morning? Faith is a mindset. Did somebody hear that? Faith is what? Is a mindset. When you condition your heart to live in faith, in the faith in the Son of God, make it a way of life. It's a mindset. You know, I've been using glasses since 1982. And over these years, I've used different kind of glasses. I've used the shaded ones, the photochromic ones. But one thing I want you to know is this. Every time when I'm using like photochromic lenses, even when it's not photochromic, every time I remove my glasses to look at something, what I see is often different from when I have my glasses on. Praise the Lord. What am I saying? Faith becomes your glasses through which you look at the world. Once you start to look at the world through the eye of faith, things will begin to change for you. Things will start to change for you in Jesus' name. So it's a mindset, it's a way of life. Faith will affect your giving. It will affect your giving. There's a kind of faith that leads you to a point where you begin to give your all to God. And it allows God to prosper you. Why did Isaac ask Jacob and Esau, or in particular ask Esau, to go and get something on the farm, from the farm, kill an animal, make, you know, soup for him to eat before he pronounced blessing on him? Why? He knows that if there's no foundation for the blessing, it will not stay on you. He knew that if there was no foundational basis for him pronouncing blessing on him, that blessing would not have stayed. In other words, if you are going to get something extraordinary from God, sometimes you have to go beyond the call of duty and do something extraordinary for God. And God will honor your faithfulness, because it takes faith to do something extraordinary for God. It takes faith for an ordinary man to put himself on the line to do something for God. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 22. The book of Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 16 to 18, and I'm going to show you something there. I'll read. And said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Praise the Lord. The blessings of Abraham did not come out of nothing. What did God say about Abraham? God said, the reason why he blessed him is this. Did you read that passage very well? He said, "Because you have done this." If God decides that he wants to bless you because of what you have done, can you receive his blessings? He said, "Because you have done this." It was not on an empty stone, you know, it was not a lip service to God. He said, "Because you have done this. Because you have done this. You did not withhold your son, your only son, from me. I am going to bless you. I'm going to make you a channel of blessing. Your descendants, they are going to be so numerous. I'm going to pour my blessings upon you because you have done this." And that is why, look, you cannot say that you know God without serving him. You cannot say that you know God without it costing you something. When God wants to look at what you have done, what will he say you have done? He said, "Because you have done this, Abraham." What will God say you have done? Abraham, because you have put the life of your son on the line, even when you know that that is the only son. And he even said, look at the Bible very well. If you think God was not aware that that was the only son, he said, "And has not withheld thy son, thy only son." Abraham must have loved that son. Of course, the other thing that you need to be aware of is this. Ishmael was there, yet God said, "Thy only son." There may be many people in the house, and God will just choose to distinguish you. He will distinguish you today in Jesus' name. There has to be something, a price you are paying. There's something, nothing. Look, there's no free lunch. There's a price you are paying, either in your time, in serving God, either your personal pride, things you have given up. What about your money? What about your belongings? Jesse Jackson said, He said, give as you live. Praise the Lord. Does someone understand that? Give as you live. Do you get it? Give as you live. When you live in affluence, give affluently. When God has made provisions for you, you wear, you know, you wear Rolex, Raymond Well, what have you, Tissot, Cartier, and so on. Give as the Lord has provided for you. Give as you live. Gucci. I'll be Gucci. Praise the Lord. Because my children will always correct me. Amen. All the designer wears, all the designers, give as you live, so that you receive the blessings of God. Not as you think you need to, you know. Give as you live. Abraham gave his utmost. And the Bible said, because you have done this. Let me tell you something. I know in some churches, because it's a test of your faith, your ability to give. Do you realize that? If you cannot part with something for God, then you haven't started. In some churches, they will never. In some churches, they have cards. If you are a worker, you cannot but pay your tithes. Am I right? In fact, in some churches, they will not wed you if you don't pay your tithes. You can't be a worker if you don't pay your tithes. Initially, I used to think that money has become, you know, too, you know, people are laying emphasis on money too much. I then realized, when I got the understanding that where your heart is where you put your treasure. You cannot say you truly serve him and not put your treasure with him. It's a sign of commitment. It's a sign of commitment to be able to give generously to the Lord. A few years back, I told God, I said, look, God, I will never give below a certain amount. When I put my offering in, and God has been faithful since then, I put a certain amount in. Even when I travel to Nigeria, you can imagine, I will use my head to calculate and convert it, and any church I go to, I pay the offering. Most times, I pay the offering. Even more than that, I pay the offering of how much I normally give here. I will give the offering. And I made it a habit, when I've not worshipped here, last day of the year, going to the new year, I make it a habit that any church I go, my family can testify to this. When I go to the church, 31st of December, 31st of December, I come in to the church. After we finish worshiping, I'll go to the pastor. I will be the first person to sow into your life, so that in your excitement, you will make some pronouncements into my life. Because when you honor a prophet, you do what? You get a prophet's reward. You provoke a kind of blessing. Abraham provoked a kind of blessing. Solomon provoked a kind of blessing. Solomon offered a sacrifice that nobody has ever sacrificed before. How many? About 1,000 or 1,200 oxen. Nobody has ever made that kind of sacrifice to God before in one day. And what did God say? He said, ask me anything. God gave him a blank check. He said, write your amount on it. He said, take it. And Solomon said, give me wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. And in his wisdom, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you, God gave him a blank check. How many people, when God speaks to you and say, look, ask of me anything. Ask of me anything personally. You see, God had a covenant with the dad. Solomon did something extraordinary. And God, apart from the covenant with the dad, God cut a covenant with Solomon personally. That was a covenant. God will cut a covenant with you in Jesus' name. Because you have done this. Because you have done this, I'm going to bless you. So, I've told you, it's not just money. So, in your time, so. Because faith is the manner, it's in faith that you sow, it's in faith that you do what you do. It's that faith in you that makes you an overcomer. Faith is what makes us overcomers. We are not just overcomers because we hear the word of God. We are overcomers because we hear the word of God and we believe it. Not only believe it, the extent of our belief is that we start to live it. Praise God. When we hear the word of God, we believe it, we start to do what? Live it. We begin to behave like an overcomer. Because you are what? You are an overcomer. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. You begin to live it. You start to live that life of an overcomer. When you hear the word of God, believe it and live it. That is what overcomes. Overcoming is not in knowing the word alone. It's in knowing, believing, and living it. That is what makes you an overcomer. Because it's a test of your faith. It's a manifestation of the level of faith you have in God. 1 John chapter 5. Did I say verse 4? He said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It's your faith that is going to overcome the world for you. It's not how much money we have. It's not how many houses we have. It's not how many shoes or shirts we've got. You are going to overcome by your faith. But let me tell you something. When you choose this way, expect that there will be obstacles. We've been told in the past, you know, when you want to believe Christ, everything is going to be perfect. Everything is going to be okay. What is okay is that you know the outcome. Because for those who are for you are more than those who are against you. Because when you have God, you are a single majority. I told you, we used to have a professor. Some of you probably know him. You know this man. He's a very small man, you know. And you will say, in those days, he would just come out like this. He said, "I'm the single majority." If he passes you, you pass. If he fails you, you fail. And truly, you are the single majority. When you have God, you are a majority. Praise the Lord. And that is why it's going to be well with you in Jesus' name. When you trust in God, where you walk, it doesn't matter how many people are out there finding fault with you, God will see you through. Because in the process of finding fault, that is how they will discover the kind of things you are made up of. That is how they will discover what God has put into you. And therefore, God will be glorified. Praise God. Let's look at Acts chapter 23, verse 12 to 15. Let me read something for you. If you've never seen it before. Because when you become a child of God, you know, and things are getting a bit difficult, it's your faith that overcomes the world. It's not what you see physically that overcomes the world. It's your faith. Acts 22, verse 12 to 15. Let me show you something there. He says, no, that's not the place I want to read. Let me quickly look at it. 12 to 15. Okay. He said, "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Certain of the Jews, they came together, they swore, put themselves under an oath and a curse that except we kill Paul, we are not going to rest. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you will inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. So they went. Now let me tell you, if the chief priest was truly a chief priest, how can people come and conspire with you on how to kill somebody? The devil will want to put obstacles in your way. To say there will be no obstacle, you are wasting time. There will be obstacles. But there is something that overcomes the world. What is that? Eh? Our faith in Jesus Christ. He said, they bound themselves. Acts 23, verse 12 to 15. They bound themselves with an oath, said, determinedly, we have to kill Paul. If we don't kill Paul, we are not going to eat. We are not going to sleep. We are not going to... You see, if Paul is our target, we have to finish him. Is there anyone waiting in the wings to say they are going to see your end? Today, by reason of the blood of Jesus, the Lord has set you free in Jesus' name. And the arrow of the enemy will go back to his own chest in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone that played God in your life, today I announce that their hands will cease from your life in Jesus' name. They wanted to play God. They said, look, we will not rest until we kill him. But our faith overcomes the world. Your faith makes you an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, if you look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7, God's provision in your life may look like it is drying up. Maybe you know very well that God was the one who asked you to marry the man you married. God was the one who asked you to marry the woman you married. God was the one who asked you to come to Australia. And it looks like things are not working out for you the way you want them to work out. And you know you had God clearly. Let me tell you something. It may look like the brook is drying up for you. But when the brook is drying up, the Lord is preparing a widow in Sarephath for you in Jesus' name. There is that cruse of oil that can never dry. And that is God for you. If God does not want to move you to something brighter and better, he will not close that door against you. I've told you before. You see, remember my wife said it this morning. She said, look, when it looks like the battle is getting hotter, you know that victory is on the way. When it looks like the battle is getting fiercer, just know that victory is on the way for you. Somebody will have victory this morning in Jesus' name. Is that faith that binds you to God, irrespective of your circumstance? We'll not be able to finish today, but I will soon finish it. I will end on this. Is the faith that binds you to God irrevocably, like the sacrifice to the altar? You know, when you now look at this particular verse we are going to read in Psalm 118, verse 27. Open your Bible to Psalm 118, verse 27. Now, I begin to understand a Yoruba saying. Listen to this. The Yoruba say something. Apologies to Mama. Says taba feron fegun ajo we tokun tokun. In other words, once you have given, you hands off totally. Come and look at the Bible equivalent here. Psalm 118 verse 27. What does it say? It said, God is the Lord which has shown us light. Listen to the second part. He said, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. In other words, tie the sacrifice to the altar. Leave it there. Let God take control because it belongs to God. When you come to God in faith, you live your life to God. You give yourself as a sacrifice to God. You allow Him to take control. You allow Him to rule. You allow Him to take over. You allow His lordship to be over you. He said, bind the sacrifice, even with a cord, onto the altar. Bind the sacrifice. Let it be tied to the altar of God. Let your life be tied to the altar of God. Let everything you have be tied to the altar of God. And let God take control and see what the wonders He will do with your life. Many a times we say, oh, we've given ourselves to God, or we've given this to God. You know, God is pulling it, we are pulling. God is pulling, we are pulling. But when you are bound to the sacrifice, to the altar, it does not matter what is going on in your life. You will not be moved. You will not be moved. Let me tell you something. I told us, we know the ministry of the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who does not know that it is easier to destroy than to build? Am I right? Do you know that somebody can say one word that will scatter this church today? Today. Somebody can cause confusion in this place and scatter everybody, and they say they devour each other, they eat each other. It's so easy to destroy, isn't it? But how easy it is for us to fill up the church. It is possible to attend this church 20 years and you may never even influence one person to come. That is how difficult it is. But when it comes to destruction, it's very easy to destroy immediately in a fury of anger, in one single moment, to make everything to scatter. Everyone can do it. But when it comes to a building up, it costs you something. I want to say to you, to build your marriage to that point where God will be glorified will cost you something. It's easy to say, let's break it up. To say, you don't measure up to my standard anymore. I think I've shared with us before. What happened, I think, is John chapter 4. When Jesus went to the marriage in Canaan, and the Bible said, after Jesus had turned water into wine, they served it. What did they say? The governor, the chairman of the party, had a taste, and he said, what kind of man are you? He said, every man, that's the exact word, every man serves the best wine first. And after people have drunk, he brings out the bad one. It makes sense, isn't it? That when people are drunk, they don't even know whether it tastes good or bad. They will drink it. Amen? He said, how come in your own case you are serving the better wine later? Your husband has served you the best wine. Those days when your husband is cutting you, or when you are cutting each other, he will launder his shirt, you know, wear his trouser. Everything, he says, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. I say, he's such a wonderful man. He never argues with me. He's the man to marry. And you get there, and after 2-3 kids, and you talk and say, why have you suddenly changed? When you are drinking the good wine, you forgot him. Now you are getting the real wine. Praise the Lord. But Jesus helps you to serve the good wine always. Praise God.
to build,
cause something,
we will need to sow into the life of our children. We need even to develop ourselves in the things of God. To build cause something. But let me tell you something. You can be in the presence of God, because faith is a builder. Go to Jude verse 20. He said, build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying also in the Spirit. Faith is a builder. Build your home, build your children, build people around you. Let's build up each other. He said, provoke each other unto what? Unto good works. And I'm telling you, the reputation you build, all your work with God, maybe for 20 years, do you know that one moment of indiscretion can destroy it? Just one moment. Just one moment. So it's easy to destroy, easier to destroy than to build. But our faith will build us up. When we come together like this and we hear, it's our faith that will build us up unto the coming of the Lord. And you are going to be built up from today in Jesus' name. You, when they are talking about people who are falling, you will not be among those who are falling in Jesus' name. You will not be a Christian in history. You know what it means? You know, they can refer to you and say, I used to know that sister. I used to know that brother. I used to know that man. When he was fervent with the Lord. But now what happens? They say, well, you see, when you get there, he's now getting drunk. We know. You know, apart from his wife, he has two girlfriends. You know, apart from her husband, we know those who, you know, you are now belonging to history. You will not belong to history in Jesus' name. You are going to be a current Christian, an ever current, evergreen Christian in Jesus' name. Building, the faith builds. When we come to hear the word of faith like this, we get built up. And that is how we can prosper from the word of God. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Because I know that time has gone. We'll finish it next time, because there's more that I want to share with you. Why don't you just thank God for the word of faith you have had today? Say, Father, just build me up today. Build me up. Build me up, O Lord. I've heard your word. I believe you. Build me up. Because your victory is in your face. Your ability to overcome is in your face. Getting to the point of your destiny is in your face. Making it is in your face. Working for God is in your face. Ask that God will just build you up this morning. Ask him to build you up. Ask him to fashion you. Ask him to shape you. Ask him to make you what he has chosen to make you. And pray to God that if there's anything that you need to do, that the blessings of God might be able to abide with you, that God will lead you to it in Jesus' name. Pray to God. If there's anything, God spoke to Abraham, he said, because you have done this, so that heaven can say on account of you, because you have done this, you deserve blessing. Because you have done this, I'm going to bless you. Pray to God and say, Father, if there's anything that I must do so you can bless me, open my eyes to it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray for everyone that every ear that has heard me today, they will not fall short of your blessings in their lives in Jesus' name. Unto eternity, you are going to bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. I say from now onwards, the blessing of the Lord is upon you in Jesus' name. There are no mere men here. There are no mere women here. You are the giants of the faith, even in this dispensation. None of you will fall short of your destiny in the Lord in Jesus' name. And everything you do on behalf of heaven will rise unto God as a memorial. And God will look at it and say, because you have done this, you deserve blessing. In the name of Jesus, you deserve blessings from today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.